Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat, and we got a great show for you guys today as the Penguins head into Celebrate 68 week. They got a home game on Wednesday with Florida, then they got a road game on Thursday in a back-to-back before returning home against the LA Kings on Sunday after a couple of days off, but like I said, we got a lot to talk about today. There is a Penguins forward that has found his way climbing the trade chatter and the trade boards. We'll talk about that to lead off the show. Penguins catching the injury bug. A lot of players absent from practice yesterday at UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex. And is there a trade piece way east in Pennsylvania that could be the answer for the Penguins in the bottom six? All of that coming up on today's episode. But let's start here, Horwat. Really quickly, because it is the conversation that took over all weekend long. Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Ottawa Senators. Ridley Gregg slapshot into the empty net. Morgan Riley cross-check to the head. He has a hearing in person today in New York to determine his suspension. What did you think of that situation? Did you think, yeah, it was deserved? Did you think that Morgan Riley was way off base with his reaction? What did you think about the situation up in Ottawa?
I have no doubt in my mind that Morgan Riley was way off base with that sort of reaction. And honestly, I am tired of these unwritten rules of guys not being allowed to, you know, throw your bat when you hit a home run, not being allowed to celebrate a touchdown. I guess that one's a written rule, but it's still dumb. Or not being allowed to take a slap shot into an empty net against a heated rival. It's literally called the Battle of Ontario. And I didn't catch any of the game. Everyone has only probably seen this little clip. From what I thought I saw on Twitter, I thought it was kind of a chippy game beforehand anyway. That's just a good way to sort of put an exclamation point on the game, especially in front of your home crowd when you are a team. You're the Ottawa Senators. You suck right now. Right, it's not things aren't going well.
Yeah,
Ridley Gregg also can be really good. He seems like he's got a great future ahead of him. He's going to be a good player. I believe he's a rookie. But it's a young man's game these days. These kids are gonna have fun. They're gonna show their personality a little. But yet, if Morgan Riley wants to give a response to that, sure, go ahead. That's fine. Do it. It's expected. But maybe not a good old, you know, Easton shaft to the face.
Yeah.
Maybe shoulder, you know, waist, whatever. One little push, not, hey, way up high to the point of, oh, he's not getting up now. Mm-hmm. I don't mind what Ridley Gregg did, and did it deserve a response? Honestly, don't know. And the response he got was a bit out of character and out of line. So throw the book at Morgan Riley. I don't care.
Yeah, see, from my angle and from my perspective, I would say that it deserved a response. Clearly, the response that Morgan Riley gave it was way out of bounds, and I'm sure even if you asked him, he'd say, yeah, I probably responded incorrectly in that moment. But, I mean, that is a game, like you mentioned, a heated rivalry. The Maple Leafs had taken, or their fans, I should say, had taken over Ottawa because no Senators fan wants to watch that product right now. So, yeah, the Senators are probably a little upset, and they get the upset over the Toronto Maple Leafs. He takes that slap shot into the empty net. I know if I was on the ice, there would be a response. Personally, the way that like I came up in the game, the way I was taught in the game, I'm not Ryan Reeves saying, yeah, he probably would have been taken out or whatever Reeves said. He's a dinosaur. He should probably not be in the league at this point. It's kind of obsolete. Sorry, Ryan, but
3-year contract.
Yeah, honestly. But there would have been a response, if anything. It might have been exactly like you saw Sidney Crosby do to Trevor Zegras last year when he shot the puck after the whistle. You give him a shoulder, you clock the number, and you say, hey, do it again, or there's going to be a response. And you basically, that's at the end of the game there. You take the number. These two teams are probably going to play again. I haven't looked into their schedule.
I don't think
and
they
you
do.
Say, I mean, they're going to play again regardless at some
yeah,
point.
At some
like
point.
Ridley Gregg is good enough to stay on the Senators. Morgan Riley is obviously going to stay on the Toronto Maple Leafs. At some point, you're going to say, all right, you're going to have to answer for that. You're just going to have to answer for that. And I know you don't like it. It's an unwritten rule. And I get it. Hockey has these unwritten rules that are about respect and all that stuff. I still think adhering to that is what I grew up with and what's in my bones and how I'm wired. So I would have a response, but clearly the response that Morgan Riley had is, you know, that's assault, brother. Like that's,
yeah.
That's not good. Like that's certainly taking it beyond responding to an unwritten rule. And I think, you know, there's a way to answer it. And I think Riley was out of bounds with it, but I also think that like there's people that are saying there shouldn't have been a response at all. Yeah, there should. I mean, it's not only about a respect thing. It's about a, hey, you're getting shown up by a team that is far inferior to you this season. You're going to respond and react in a way that, you know, is not all, you know, kumbaya, sunshine and rainbow. So I like the fact that he responded. I don't like the way he responded. And that's just where I sit on it. And like, of course, we're not going to continue to harp on this simply because it's Penguins podcast. We got plenty
Correct.
To talk about surrounding this Pittsburgh Penguins team. They've certainly given us plenty to discuss in a season where they've seemingly stayed in the same position in the standings from the very drop of the puck back in October against the Chicago Blackhawks. So let's get into that a little bit because there's one player that made his Penguins debut in that game against the Blackhawks, and already we're seeing trade chatter pick up surrounding Riley Smith. He hasn't had the season that many had hoped for. 11 points in his first 10 games. 6 of those 11 points were goals, but in the last 33 games, he only has 10. So he finds himself now on multiple trade targets list. Let's run down through them here. He's 34th on Chris Johnson's list for the Athletic. He's on the bubble for David Pagnotta of the fourth period. He's not currently present on Frank Saravalli's list for Daily Faceoff, but to kind of bring all this together, Jesse Granger of The Athletic wrote a piece last week on why Riley Smith and a return to Vegas would be very welcomed on that side of the aisle. So a lot of talk surrounding Riley Smith already in the trade market as we near the deadline. What would you think of Kyle Dubas pulling the plug on Riley Smith this early?
It would certainly show the, I don't know how to put it. It would certainly show just how serious Kyle Dubas is about winning for this team right now. It would certainly show how serious this team is about finding success and finding, you know, the proper players to help the lineup succeed. And if Riley Smith is not one of them, and that's the move they decide to take, then yeah, that's solidifying the fact that you are depending on the return, I guess, depending on how you sort of, you know, fill that role, because it could also very well mean it, because if you follow up a Riley Smith deal of sorts with Jake Guentzel trade, well, suddenly it's okay, we're not actually trying to build here, it is the beginning of the teardown for this season. If it is just a Riley Smith trade, maybe even back to Vegas, to open up a roster spot even for Sam Poulin, who's currently injured. Whoops. To open up a roster spot for someone to come in, or you're getting some sort of return that's an NHL-ready return, like a hockey trade, then Kyle Dubas is showing that he is here to help the team win. Mm-hmm. Riley Smith wasn't doing it. Maybe this person will. Kyle Dubas said on a couple of occasions now, I think, that when the lineup isn't succeeding or when certain guys aren't performing to their ability, it's on him, and he needs to be the one that addresses it and makes the appropriate changes. So we'll see if those appropriate changes are coming for Riley Smith. I don't know if that necessarily is an appropriate change, quote unquote, but I mean, the more he doesn't succeed, the more it is a yikes that he's in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I think he's coming off of a pretty good performance in Winnipeg. Now, the Penguins, in general, had a very poor first period, but I thought they warmed to the task through the second and third periods in that game, at least a little bit better than they did in the first. And I think Riley Smith was one of the better players on the Penguins lineup that night. 3 shots on goal, 6 shots attempted, which was tied for second on the team, and 55.5% of the expected goals. He should fit with this team. Like, that is, for all purposes, for all indications, he should be a good fit with this team. He's the only player this season entirely that's been dangerous off the rush. He's the only one on the team. Now, most of that was early in the season when we were saying that him and Malkin have a chemistry that could be the best that any line mate with Malkin has had since James Neal in the mid-2010s, early 2010s. That certainly doesn't seem to be the case anymore. But you saw them connect in Minnesota on Friday. You saw Riley Smith look much better on Saturday. If he can start to build on performances, I do think that he should be a good fit on this team. He should be a positive asset for this Penguins team. He just hasn't for a vast majority of this season. And the Penguins are in such a weird spot where you want them to go out there and make the changes that are necessary to turn things around quickly, because every year you don't make the playoffs is another waste of Sidney Crosby's career. And at this point, when he's having a Hart Trophy season, potentially the last season that he's going to play at this high of a level, we don't know, we'll never know, until it actually happens right in front of our faces, There's a little bit more of a sense of urgency. Now, Kyle Dubas hasn't had much of a sense of urgency. He's been very patient with this Penguins team, letting things play out, letting them try to build chemistry, giving them time to try to figure things out here, simply because they've been in the race. But at this point, if you start to lose these games, you're going to fall further and further back in the race, and it's going to become unrealistic to expect that this team's going to ever come back and bounce into the playoffs as currently constructed. You're going to have to make moves, and it's not going to be one move that changes the fortunes of the Penguins, because this team is flawed in very many areas right now. The power play has not been good. The scoring, when it comes to finishing, hasn't been good for years, so one player is not going to change that on the forward side of things. And the defense is not good. It's not. You can say they're third in goals allowed. That tells me that you don't look deeper into the story. They're 21st in expected goals against per 60 minutes. That tells you that the goaltenders are the primary reason that this team is so good at not allowing goals. Yes, defensively, the forwards in the bottom six are better than they were last year. They're pretty decent when it comes to the defensive side, but it's not enough when your defense, the actual guys on the blue line, are not good at their position and not good at defending in front of the net, off the rush. That's what this team has shown. And when you look at that and then you parcel it down to which players are underperforming, you look at a handful of players that are making a lot of money against the cap, and the easiest to move is Riley Smith. Because you could say Ricard Raquel's in that boat. You could say Ryan Graves is in that boat. But when you look at those two and you look at Riley Smith, Smith is the easier one to move simply because of contract and opportunity.
Cup pedigree as well. You could throw that. You could genuinely throw that in there. Less of an injury this year as well. I know he was hurt, but he feels a little healthier than Ricard Raquel has all season. And also still has seemed to have a bit more jump than Ricard Raquel, so he becomes a bit more of an attractive player. And I pulled that article back up from The Athletic. One of the notes that stuck out to me whenever I read it too was that obviously he didn't want to be traded from Vegas. I don't think, you know, guys don't want to be traded, you know, at all to start with. But the point that, you know, I forgot that he hadn't done media after the trade. He didn't really speak until he got here. So that was, you know, like the article says here, generating the idea that he wasn't happy with the deal. Again, totally fair. Like, you're not going to be happy when you get traded, but it could also be, you know, playing into this poor performance. Not that he's dogging it out there, but just that his mental is kind of gone a little bit. He didn't want to be moved in the first place, and me and you talked about it over text, at least, or maybe even on here after recording, how we saw Riley Smith taking in the intermission with his former teammates, taking in the kids playing in Vegas. I forget what they call it. but sitting with his former teammates in Penguins gear, in a Penguins hoodie, no less, because he was injured. Obviously, he was going to be out there for the return, the welcome back video. I'm forgetting another point that had to do with him in Vegas, but the signs are also still kind of there that he hasn't fully been mentally here almost. So we'll see where that takes it. But it's an interesting little case.
That is, I mean, it's something to certainly consider, but I feel like when looking at Riley Smith and the professional that he's been throughout his entire career, and also looking at the start that he had, 11 points in 10 games, he was mentally there at the beginning of the season. Now, could he be homesick for a city that he called home for so long? I mean, he was one of the original Misfits out there in Vegas. And yes, I get it. He didn't want to get traded. He was a cap casualty. Vegas tends to do that to players. Nate Schmidt, Marc-Andre Fleury. If they are up against the cap, which they have been basically their entire existence, they're going to trade away a player, whether the fans like it or not. And the Penguins try to take advantage of that. They sent out a third-round pick for Riley Smith, which should have been a good move for the Penguins. It should have been a steal because the Penguins got what they thought was a top six player that is almost a guaranteed 25-plus goals, a solid defender, a penalty killer, and a guy that's going to help actually generate offense off the rush. We've seen glimpses of that. He hasn't put it all together. I understand the reasoning behind bringing that up. I wouldn't put his performance on being homesick necessarily. I wouldn't put his performance on not wanting to be traded from Vegas. Yeah, it might have an effect on his mental at some points, but I don't think that 10 points in 33 games would be a result of that. I think there's obviously other factors, and performance is something that a lot of things go into it, but to have that be in some people's eyes, I'm not saying it's yours, but in some people's eyes, to have that be the main reason he's not performing, I think is missing the point. I think the point is just, or at least trying to fabricate a reasoning behind why he's not performing, because it seems kind of implausible that a player that has been consistent, at least more consistent than he's shown this season throughout his career, is having the year that he's having.
Yeah, it's not the main point, but it is something to sort of look for and keep an eye on, especially if, let's say, a deal with Vegas happens again. Like, yeah, that first interview back would be interesting to see the kind of things he says. He has another year after this one on his contract, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well then, like, the free agency talk and wait a little bit longer. But it'll just be interesting to see how the rest of the year kind of plays out with him. Listen, the Penguins are still in the race. They still have a chance to sort of make the run for themselves. They're going to need a move or two, maybe three, if you can parcel that out.
If you're willing to spend to try to think that this team is good enough to not only make the playoffs, but make some noise. And that's another discussion that we've gotten into and we'll probably have to get into a couple more times before March 8th.
Oh, don't worry, we will. Because the other part of it, too, is if you're trying to make that many, you got to start making them soon. You can't wait until the beginning of March and expect to do it all a week before the deadline. You kind of have to kick things into gear as early as yesterday. You got to get the ball rolling on what could be available. Kyle Dubas said he wanted to keep waiting. He wants to keep waiting, wants to see what this team can do. The time for waiting is over. I get that you want to see what you have. You want to see what this team can present to you. The team is presenting you mediocrity, and it has been all season. At this point, 49 games in, I don't think much is going to change.
No. I think that's the thing that, you know, we can sit here and say, hey, they need this to be better. They need this to be better. And that's how we're wired. How would they get better? What trades would they make to get better? That's what they've done. Basically, you know, since 2005, this season comes around, trade deadline season. It's all right. Who are the Penguins going to bring in? This is a year where they might not be good enough to warrant bringing somebody in. You know, does it warrant trading assets from a very depleted pool of assets already to try to make this team what? A non-playoff team to we missed by 1 point again? Like, is that what they're going to be able to bring in? Because they're not going to be able to make any huge move of significance unless, of course, they trade maybe a Jake Guentzel. But even that, you're getting mostly magic beans. So there's a lot, obviously, that goes into this discussion of buying or selling, and we've parceled it out over the last couple of months because, you know, Kyle Dubas has, like you said, continued to wait, but we're going to have to keep parceling it out as we wait even longer, coming down now to about 3 weeks until the NHL's trade deadline, 3.5 weeks until the NHL's trade deadline. So we'll obviously monitor that as it goes on. But what we have to also monitor is the Penguins. Well, they're taking a lot of injuries. They missed a lot of players yesterday at practice. We'll talk about those injuries and which ones we're a little bit more concerned about than others after this break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. Monday's practice at UPMC's complex offered a handful of negative injury news surrounding the Penguins. Jansen Harkins, who left Saturday's game against the Winnipeg Jets in the second period, officially deemed as having a concussion. He was placed on injured reserve yesterday afternoon. Evgeny Malkin missed practice for a maintenance day. Chris Letang left practice early after getting, quote, nicked up, according to head coach Mike Sullivan. More cautionary than anything. And then also, the only positive that came out of yesterday as far as injury news is concerned, Noel Achari began skating away from the team and is making progress on his return from a concussion. So with all that injury news, Horwat, we're going to get into the Evgeny Malkin one. I think it's fair to say the Chris Letang injury would be detrimental to this team. Obviously, losing Malkin would be as well. It seems like he's dealing with something. But losing Chris Letang in any aspect would be very detrimental to this team. He's only nicked up, probably going to end up playing on Wednesday and Thursday. But you see the wear and tear to the player that has been one of the five best for the Penguins all season. How worrisome is that to you?
I would suspect both Malkin and Letang play the next couple of games, just because, again, we're not, Mike Sullivan has not labeled them as injured or out or anything of the sort. It is just
cautionary maintenance.
Yeah, maintenance isn't it. We'll get to the Malkin thing. Yeah, losing Chris Letang would just be brutal because, yeah, we have Erik Karlsson sticking around, but Chris Letang has been the Penguins' best defenseman, period. Both sides of the puck he's playing. He's now back on the top power play unit at long last. Power play still looks kind of horrendous, but is at least steps forward we're taking with Letang on it. There's just a bit more of a sanity in having Chris Letang in your lineup. You know that, again, he's played a huge role on the penalty kill. He's obviously back on the top power play. His 5-on-5 numbers have looked solid. You know, I think going into last season, I remember predicting him as having a career year, but not by offense, but by the full game. I'm getting that just a year later. This has been a really good year for him, mm-hmm. On both sides of the puck. A really good step forward, especially after, you know, dealing with another damn stroke last year and another lengthy amount of time missed. Coming in off of I forget what that trophy called, Masterton Trophy year, to still be really good in this league. It's impressive stuff. Losing him would be absolutely, depending on how long the injury is, how long an injury would be for Letang, you'd almost turn the season in. That's how important he's been.
Yeah, 100%, because you look at the right side then, Erik Karlsson bumps up to the top pairing, and you're like, all right, well, that's still a good top pairing guy, but then you have Ruedel and P.O. Joseph, or you can move John Ludvig over the right side. Either way, any of those two playing on your second pair is not great. I mean, when you look at defense-wise, and this is talking about defensemen, when it comes to who I trust and the power ranking of defensemen that I trust to actually play defense, Marcus Pedersen's number one, Chris Letang's number two, there is a gap, then it might be Chad Ruedel. Like, that's where you go with that. And this is already not a great defensive team, as I said earlier in the episode, so losing Chris Letang would be huge. Fortunately, he's only nicked up. It's more cautionary. It seems like he's all right. But if these things start to compound, as they tend to do with older veteran players in the league, and he ends up having to miss games, you said it perfectly. You might as well throw the season in if he has to miss a substantial amount of games. And I would think five, to me, would be considered substantial at this point of the season, because a five-game losing streak at this point just kind of rules you out of a playoff spot if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that's Letang. Evgeny Malkin's side, there's a little bit more cloak and dagger behind this one. They return to practice today at 11 a.m. I personally would expect, after a maintenance day, you see Evgeny Malkin return to practice with the Penguins.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about Evgeny Malkin? Because this is his second maintenance day since the All-Star break, which they've also only had a week since an All-Star break and a bye week, and he's already taken two maintenance days. How concerned are you about Evgeny Malkin's absence at some of these practices?
I'm going to be totally fair in my brain here. Evgeny Malkin could be perfectly healthy. I'm still concerned about Evgeny Malkin. This production has been not good. Obviously, he's getting older. Obviously, Father Time is undefeated. Sidney Crosby's putting up a damn good fight, but that's not who we're here talking about. I'm not saying Evgeny Malkin is losing that fight yet, but the production has been... It's almost completely evaporated. He's got, what, one goal in the last 10 games?
Yep,
I think six points in that time. That's not good enough, period. And even, we understand he's a future Hall of Fame second line center here, but you still need more from the position you're playing. It's, you know, if he's putting up these numbers at the third line role, maybe we don't think about it as much. I mean, maybe we do because he's still Evgeny Malkin. But because he's playing in that second line role, and because he is Evgeny Malkin, and because he's been healthy, he was healthy all last year, and up to this point has seemed pretty healthy, you're expecting so much more. Now, could age be a factor in this? Absolutely. Is he a step slower? Sure seems it. Now that you're adding an injury on here, yeah, I'm concerned. I was concerned without one, and now with this possibility of he's two maintenance days in a week after a bye week, yeah, he's dealing with something. There's no way he's not. We don't know what it is. We don't know upper, lower, mental. We don't know. But it's something, and it's something to keep an eye on and to monitor. If he's not on the ice today, there's real questions that need to be asked more than just, like, it can't just be a maintenance day at this point.
Yeah, this podcast comes out at 11 o'clock. They will be on the ice at 11 o'clock, so you, the listener, will know the answer to whether or not he practices. Like I said, I expect him to practice today. But here's the only thing that I can think of that wouldn't be injury-related, which, you know, it might be bumps and bruises associated with the play. But he's also a guy that we saw last season when the Penguins got down the stretch. They needed him to be at his best. He ran out of gas. He ran out of gas. Crosby ran out of gas. And the goaltending wasn't great last year. That was the nail in the coffin for the Penguins. The only other thing that I can think of is the Penguins are saying, all right, we're heading into the same thing again. Same situation. We're out of a playoff spot. We have some ground to make up. We're going to need Evgeny Malkin to be at his best, better than he's been pretty much all season except for maybe the first 2 weeks of the year, right? You're going to need Evgeny Malkin to be at that level. The 83 points in 82 games Evgeny Malkin that you had last season, you're going to need that. Maybe you give him a couple extra days off in February because you know March is going to be very daunting, especially for the older portion of your lineup, especially for a guy in Evgeny Malkin who has looked a step slower all season long. You need him to kick it into high gear, and you're not going to get there by working him night in and night out, day in and day out. So giving him a couple maintenance days through February, maybe this is something that continues through March as the Penguins schedule when it gets more, you know, intense. So that's the only other thing I can think about, because they're not saying, oh, he's dealing with something. Oh, there's something small that he's, you know, controlling right now. It's he took off with a maintenance day. He's off with a maintenance day. We gave him off with a maintenance day. it feels like they're trying to leave some gas in the tank for Evgeny Malkin. Again, I might be off base. We might learn more today. We might learn more in the next couple of days. But it feels like that is also a possibility that we can't take off the table, is they're really just trying to make sure that Evgeny Malkin has gas left in the tank when April rolls around. And they might be in the same situation as they were last year, where it is win the last two games of the season and you're in the playoffs. You need Evgeny Malkin in those instances. They didn't have it last year because he was completely out of gas. Maybe that's what they're trying to do this year.
Yeah, that's a perfectly valid option as well. It's just, you know, people say that the February and March schedules are jam-packed. For what it's worth, February's jam-packed in a much different way. It's packed, it's just, here's a back-to-back, no, a bunch of awkward days off. Here's a back-to-back, no, a bunch of awkward days off. Whereas March, it is literally, here's a game, day off, here's a game, day off. It's every other day almost in March. So you're trying to really mitigate the timeout for those 2 months, and for what it's worth, the half month of April of regular season hockey is pretty packed as well, with difficult teams too. So yeah, trying to keep gas in the tank for Malkin, you do it for Crosby as well, do it for, you know, Letang, who left as a precaution, do it for the main guys that are going to be tiring out, I guess, if you will. The thing about the Malkin situation is, though, is that he was on the ice, though, taking in what looked like a little personal, let's see how this feels, skates on Monday. He took to the ice for like a couple minutes by himself with Chris Stewart watching him. So there's the little tidbit to remember in this, that he wasn't completely off. They didn't keep him home or anything like that. It was, he was there, he was with the team, and he was briefly in gym clothes on the ice. I'm trying to remember the video. Skates, definitely, gloves and a helmet. So something to keep an eye out for. There's going to be a little bit of a worry whenever we watch Malkin again.
Yeah, if the Penguins have, you know, designs on making the playoffs this season, it's going to be through Evgeny Malkin, as well as obviously everybody else on the team that is counted on. But they have a large portion of their plan revolved around Evgeny Malkin being at his best. He hasn't been that this season, and I think you see as a result as one of the reasons as to why they are in the position they're in. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, the Penguins, they might not even buy, but if they do, there is one name on the market that Nick Horvat specifically is very intrigued by. We'll discuss that right after this break. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg, presented as always by InsideThePenguins.com. The trade deadline is on March 8th, so just a couple of weeks away. Kyle Dubas still plotting, still thinking, still figuring out what he wants to do with this Penguins team. He said they're going to show him what he needs to do. So far, they've shown him that he needs to sell. But we'll see if that changes in the coming weeks, in the coming games. Obviously, they play Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday this week. So it'll be interesting to see how they perform in those matchups against, I mean, Florida is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. On Thursday, they play Chicago, which one of the worst teams in the league, but it's Chicago and the Penguins. We know how that turns out sometimes, especially the last two times they've played. On national television, no less, Penguins don't come away looking good. And then they play the Kings on Celebrate 68 night. So, interesting schedule coming up. We'll see how they're able to fare through it. With the trade deadline coming up, could they look east for a bottom six upgrade? Horvat, this is a name that you've thrown out. This is a name that both of us threw out a lot 3 years ago when he was on the trade deadline. Like, he was on the trade market 3 years ago. And instead, the Philadelphia Flyers decided, we're going to sign this guy to a 5-year contract. And that is Scott Laughton. He has soared up trade lists in recent days. He is top 5 in some. He's top 10 in others. In some, he's just, oh, well, he might be on the verge of being a trade target. The 29-year-old center left wing has 2 years left on his contract, $3 million average annual value. And he's having what is considered to be a down season in Philly. 23 points, 7 goals, 16 assists in 54 games. He kills penalties. He brings an edge to his game as only a Philadelphia Flyer can. But the return is reportedly priced around a first-round pick. Horwat, with that in mind, what do you think of Scott Laughton as a fit before we get into paying that much of a price for a bottom six upgrade for this specific Penguins team?
Oh yeah, without talking about the price, he's a perfect fit. He is, because he's playing on the fourth line over in Philly. Right now, the Penguins are down 2 fourth liners, mind you. We don't know Noel Chari's situation yet. He did skate, not moved to injured reserve. Again, like I kept mentioning with the Riley Smith injury, he was not taken off the active roster. That's something to keep an eye on. Whereas this time around, Jansen Harkins was moved to injured reserve. Noel Chari's still around, but we don't exactly know what the situation is. Ignoring price tag and asking price, Scott Laughton fits directly into that fourth line center role with Noel Chari out. If Noel Chari is okay, all right, well, you just said Scott Laughton's a center left wing. Well, now he fills in for Jansen Harkins. And suddenly, you've got one of the biggest bruising fourth lines in the league with Achari and Laughton just throwing their bodies around like wrecking balls. Jeff Carter's there doing his thing, I guess. I mean, he's having a better season than we all expected, so that's a bonus. Yeah, suddenly you have a really entertaining fourth line. He's able to step in. Scott Laughton be able to step in and fill in for whatever injury spot you have there. And whenever I threw this out to you, it was before we knew everything about Jansen Harkins. It was he could just fill in for Noel Achari for the time being. And then even if you want to keep, if you are doing this and Noel Achari comes back, depending on the longevity of Noel Achari's head injury, all right, fine. We'll move Achari and or Laughton to that left wing or to a wing, and suddenly you have them both on the same line, and those boys are just piling up hits. It becomes fun. That just becomes entertaining. I can remember texting our buddy Noah Strackman about it. I love goofy season.
Yeah.
And this is that time. So that's a goofy option. And honestly, it's one that just, it makes sense. It sucks that it's the other side of the state. For what it's worth, Kyle Dubas is still new to the rivalry, so maybe that's part of, it's a little easier. As highly unlikely as it is, it's just the most fun.
Here's a hypothetical trade for you, because I think we both agree the Penguins are not paying a first-round pick for a bottom six forward. They're just not. They're not paying a first-round pick. They shouldn't really pay a first-round pick for anybody, I think, in this trade market. I don't think there's anybody that really warrants that for the Penguins at this stage of the game, because I don't think they're one player away, like I said, from becoming a cup contender, which at the end is the goal. Vegas wants Riley Smith back. Jesse Granger said in that piece, it would probably have to go through a third team. So Vegas pays Philly that first-round pick. Penguins get Scott Laughton. Vegas gets Riley Smith through Philadelphia with a little bit of retained salary. And then the Penguins throw in a mid-round pick to Philadelphia to help grease the engine there. That works out for everybody because, I mean, again, very much a hypothetical trade that will not happen. I will tell you right now, that will not happen. If it does, I'm going to play the lottery the next day.
Absolutely.
But that hypothetical trade works out. The Penguins move Riley Smith, who is right now a trouble contract off of their roster. They get Scott Laughton, who I think would be a good third-line guy for them. Maybe a Laughton-Eller-Puljujarvi line is interesting. And the Flyers get their first-round pick, plus like a mid-round pick for shipping out Scott Laughton and retaining a little bit of Riley Smith. So I think that works out for most people.
Yeah, but again, you just have to figure, you have to hope that the brain trust in Philadelphia of Keith Jones, Danny Briere, and every other former Philadelphia Flyer
besides Jeff Carter
is okay with rolling out a player of their from their roster that's going to land in Pittsburgh. This isn't the 90s anymore, and this isn't Rick Tocchet we're talking about. This is a bit of a different, especially considering the Flyers are doing way better than anybody expected and somehow maintaining it. And the Penguins are struggling. So it's, and when it comes to trade season, teams are going to throw you anchors, not help you.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, the Flyers have no interest in helping the Penguins either. I mean, so that's why, like, yeah, you're right. If this trade pulls through, oh my goodness, everyone buy a lottery ticket. But at the same time, it is just goofy season, and it would just take a lot of convincing. You're right. Greasing the wheels with an extra pick or two for Philly, going through a third-party team, everyone comes out happy. It would just, it would depend. And like I said, just have to make sure that you know, former Flyers like Danny Briere, Keith Jones. I can't remember who else they have in their front office. I think Bobby Clark is still there. You think he's going to trade the Penguins?
I'd have to look up and see the last time the Penguins and the Flyers actually executed a trade. I know the last time a player went from Philly to Pittsburgh was the Mark Friedman waiver pickup from Ron Hextall. That was his first move as general manager. And I mean, that worked out for the most part. Friedman was good for his role and it cost nothing for the Penguins to pick him up. But I think that's an interesting name, though. You know, it's a name that's very high and it is going to catch a lot of people's interest. I think Pagnotta said that it was Tampa Bay, Colorado, and Toronto were all interested or reportedly interested in Scott Laughton. And when Tampa Bay's in there, you know they're willing to just throw the kitchen sink just to get the guy that they want. So if he ends up being the number one guy on their sites, you can kiss that deal goodbye. But it's an interesting name, though, and I think it brings something that the Penguins sorely need. Obviously, 29 years old, not ideal. I get it. The Penguins are one of the oldest teams in the NHL, but he's a prick, which is great. He can score goals. He scored 18 goals last season, so he's done that in the past. And overall, I think he's a solid bottom six player and an upgrade over what you have in a guy like you mentioned, Jansen Harkins. I think that if you move out Riley Smith and you bring in a guy like Scott Laughton, you get $2 million in cap space, which is nice. You get Laughton under control for the next 2 years, so you can move him around a little bit. I think it's intriguing. You know, he obviously has a lot of chemistry with Travis Konecny over in Philadelphia. We saw that last night. So maybe he can move up and play in the top six. Who knows? But the Penguins, if they're going to make a move, it's going to have to be one of those weird three-team, it is selling but buying at the same time. I don't know. I feel like that's where we're headed this season. And Scott Laughton would certainly be a decent prize at the end of the rainbow for the Penguins if they do go through all those hoops and all those gymnastics. But to close out this episode, I do want to ask you this question because I don't think I ever asked it to you. I put out my opinions on who should be on the Penguins trade list if they're going to buy. I did that in January. I have three names as my top three here. They're all defensemen. Ilya Lyubushkin was number one. Alexander Carrier was number two. Matt Dumba was number three. And then I had a couple of honorable mentions that were forwards. Anthony Duclair, Arthur Kaliev, and then a defenseman in Jacob Chychrun. Which of these players would you say is the best fit for the Penguins?
I've been hard on the Jacob Chychrun train. I was on it last year. This year, just because it's that left side and it's harder to fill out, especially with the Ryan Graves boat anchor. I'm still on the Jacob Chychrun train, I guess, just because the Penguins are all of a sudden in a weird spot when it comes to what can they do, buy or sell. Mm-hmm. They're still on that middle ground of maybe just make a hockey trade somehow or add to a specific area. The Penguins need defense. There's no doubt about that. They need someone who can play the damn position. Jacob Chychrun can. So I think that's going to be my final answer there. But also adding in the bottom six is going to be important, especially if we're losing Harkins and we still don't know about Achari. There's just a couple of needs for this team. Scoring is also a big one. Scoring is so bad right now. But if your name isn't Sidney Crosby or Jake Guentzel, and to a degree Brian Rust, you're not scoring, period.
But as one player, like, is Anthony Duclair, as much as I like Anthony Duclair, is he going to help the Penguins, or is he going to come into the Penguins and just do the same thing the Penguins do, which is the way that the system is built, which is they're not good at finishing. They don't create off the rush. They try to create with in-zone pressure and sustained zone time. We thought Riley Smith could come in and add that element. He did for 2 weeks, and then it went away. He scored one goal on Friday. That's the first goal off the rush that I think he scored since, like, November. So, you know, does Duclair, I agree with you, he'd be a great add, and I agree with you they need better scoring, but does one player fix that? I just don't know.
No, if anything, you hope maybe one player can add to the scoring, but also maybe because it's a trade, it is a shake the room, wake up trade.
Maybe.
Something sort of, the mojo changes. You're going to need a second one. Whenever I pulled up the Scott Laughton thing, it was essentially, oh, he is Nola Chari, but with more offense.
Much more offense.
Yeah. So there was that aspect to it too, was that, well, Scott Laughton can also score a little more. Mm-hmm. They have basically the identical hit numbers. both playing fourth line center on their respective Pennsylvania hockey team. It was, he's Nolan Chari, but can score. So there's that part of it. You're right, Duclair can score, but he doesn't move the needle. No one on, especially this deadline, no one really, aside from Jake Guentzel, oh boy, moves the needle offensively over the top. Mm-hmm. Elias Lindholm was everyone's number one option, but he had, what, 6 goals for a long time this year? Mostly assists. He was a playmaker. Mm-hmm. But that, the Penguins need goal scorers. That, six goals on the year is not moving the needle for the Penguins. Even if they were to go big game hunting there, it's not, it wouldn't have worked. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting deadline. And like everyone's been saying, goalies are going to drive it. And that's, Penguins need nothing to do with goalies.
Yeah.
Nothing. They're doing great. As a matter of fact, Penguins are 26 in the league in scoring because they can't score. Yet they're a plus 12 goal differential.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... What a season, Horvat. What a season it's been.
Oh, this again?
It's. I said it yesterday on Iceberg to Go. I was like, is this just been one big season last year and this year? It really feels like it. I mean, the team is different.
Yes.
The front office is different. The vibes around the room are slightly different because I think you had mentioned that last year it seemed like at some points you were out of wake. This season, a little bit better vibes, but the results aren't there. So it just feels like the same year back-to-back. They're in the same position in the standings. They have the same issues. Can't score. The power play is much worse. But the only difference, like the biggest difference is they have goaltending this year. They didn't last year. And that's it. Like that's really the biggest difference. And Evgeny Malkin. Evgeny Malkin was great last year, all year, 83 points, 82 games. He had his lulls, but they certainly weren't as extended as this year. Mm-hmm. But it feels like, you know, from a basic bird's eye view, it's the same season again. It's Groundhog Day.
Oh boy.
Not a fun Groundhog Day.
No. And you're right. Last season, the bits and pieces that I remember from last season, too, like, just the vibes were not there, you're right. It was essentially every time Hextall spoke, it felt like it was raining outside. It was that sort of, like, oh, just nothing's going correctly. It's all sort of, you know, declining. Hey, there's the fire Hextall chance. Hey, there's another fire Hextall chance. This time around, oh... And then Pittsburgh just got on to chanting at every sporting event.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
got the point across with the Steelers. There was another one this year at the Penguins games that I'm not remembering.
I don't know.
Oh, the Flurry ones. There was the Flurry chants. And I think there was another one in there. Pittsburgh fans have been finding ways to get chants in there. So,
yeah,
it's going to be... It has felt like, one long season, but like at least with some more net positivity this time around,
yeah.
Unless the wheels fall off and it becomes time to sell.
It's funny. It feels, you say there, you know, they're a little bit more net positivity. It feels a little bit more positive around the team, and yet they are further down in the standings than they were at this point last year. It's interesting. It's certainly intriguing, the season that the Penguins have had through 49 games. They have 34 remaining. Can they get into the postseason with those 34 games? That remains to be seen. Can they get into a position where they want to buy something at the trade deadline? Does Scott Laughton become a player that's in their crosshairs? We'll have to wait and see, wait and watch. And I think it's going to be an interesting lead up to the trade deadline in March and also lead up to the playoffs in April. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Keep your eye on us here at the Tip of the Iceberg and at InsideThePenguins.com as we continue to come out with a lot of stories, a lot of discussions surrounding this Pittsburgh Penguins team. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from by simply searching Tip of the Iceberg. We'll see you guys next time.